I am not to blame for the suffering which Irma still has, and that Otto is to blame for it. Now Otto has made me angry by his remark about Irma's imperfect cure. The dream avenges me upon him by turning the reproach back upon himself. The dream acquits me of responsibility for Irma's condition by referring it to other causes, which indeed furnish a great number of explanations. The dream represents a certain condition of affairs as I should wish it to be. The content of the dream is thus the fulfilment of a wish. Its motive is a wish. This much is apparent at first sight, but many things in the details of the dream become intelligible when regarded from the point of view of wish fulfilment. I take revenge on Otto, not only for hastily taking part against me, in that I accuse him of a careless medical operation, the injection, but I am also avenged on him for the bad cordial, which smells like fusel oil, and I find an expression in the dream which unites both reproaches, the injection with a preparation of propyl. Still I am not satisfied, but continue my revenge by comparing him to his more reliable competitor. I seem to say by this, I like him better than you. But Otto is not the only one who must feel the force of my anger. I take revenge on the disobedient patient by exchanging her for a more sensible, more docile one. Nor do I leave the contradiction of Dr. M. unnoticed, but express my opinion of him in an obvious allusion to the effect that his relation to the question is that of an ignoramus. Dysentery will develop, etc. It seems to me, indeed, as though I were appealing from him to someone better informed, my friend who has told me about trimethylamine. Just as I have turned from Irma to her friend, I turn from Otto to Leopold. Rid me of these three persons, replace them by three others of my own choice, and I shall be released from the reproaches which I do not wish to have deserved. The unreasonableness itself of these reproaches is proved to me in the dream in the most elaborate way. Irma's pains are not charged to me because she herself is to blame for them, in that she refuses to accept my solution. Irma's pains are none of my business, for they are of an organic nature, quite impossible to be healed by a psychic cure. Irma's sufferings are satisfactorily explained by her widowhood, trimethylamine, a fact which, of course, I cannot alter. Irma's illness has been caused by an incautious injection on the part of Otto with an ill-suited substance. In a way, I should never have made an injection. Irma's suffering is the result of an injection made with an unclean syringe, just like the inflammation of the veins in my old lady, while I never do any such mischief with my injections. I am aware, indeed, that these explanations of Irma's illness, which unite in acquitting me, do not agree with one another, they even exclude one another. The whole pleading, this dream is nothing else, recalls vividly the defensive argument of a man who was accused by his neighbour of having returned a kettle to him in a damaged condition. In the first place, he said, he had returned the kettle undamaged. In the second, it already had holes in it when he borrowed it. And thirdly, he had never borrowed the kettle from his neighbour at all. But so much the better. If even one of these three methods of defence is recognised as valid, the man must be acquitted. Still other subjects mingle in the dream, whose relation to my release from responsibility for Irma's illness is not so transparent. The illness of my daughter and that of a patient of the same name, the harmfulness of cocaine, the illness of my patient travelling in Egypt, concern about the health of my wife, my brother, of Dr. M., my own bodily troubles, and concern about the absent friend who is suffering from suppurative rhinitis. But if I keep all these things in view, they combine into a single train of thought, labelled perhaps, concern for the health of myself and others, professional conscientiousness. I recall an undefined disagreeable sensation, as Otto brought me the news of Irma's condition. I should like to note, finally, the expression of this fleeting sensation, which is part of the train of thought that is mingled into the dream. It is as though Otto had said to me, "You do not take your physician's duties seriously enough. You are not conscientious. Do not keep your promises." Thereupon this train of thought placed itself at my service in order that I might exhibit proof of the high degree in which I am conscientious, how intimately I am concerned with the health of my relatives, friends, and patients. Curiously enough, there are also in this thought material some painful memories, which correspond rather to the blame attributed to Otto than to the accusation against me. The material has the appearance of being impartial, but the connection between this broader material upon which the dream depends and the more limited theme of the dream which gives rise to the wish to be innocent of Irma's illness is nevertheless unmistakable. I do not wish to claim that I have revealed the meaning of the dream entirely, or that the interpretation is flawless. I could still spend much time upon it. I could draw further explanations from it, and bring up new problems which it bids us consider. I even know the points from which further thought associations might be traced. But such considerations as are connected with every dream of one's own restrain me from the work of interpretation. Whoever is ready to condemn such reserve may himself try to be more straightforward than I. I am content with the discovery which has been just made. If the method of dream interpretation here indicated is followed, it will be found that the dream really has meaning, and is by no means the expression of fragmentary brain activity which the authors would have us believe. When the work of interpretation has been completed, the dream may be recognized as the fulfillment of a wish.